Hare Krishna. Panchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare Hare. So we play for the blessings of Srila Haridas Thakur. O Srila Haridas Thakur, please bless me and everyone with the pure chanting of the holy name of Krishna today and every day. Why wait? Ask right now. So Vaisheshika Prabhu, he wanted me to speak something about japa. And we did that last time we were here. I'll say something about japa. And he'll say something about japa. Do you know what japa means? Huh? Yeah, ja and pa, right. Ja means birth and pa means sin. And it's that process that frees you from sin. And in the Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna have to say about japa? He says of sacrifices, I'm japa. So what I wanted to share with you today is more just my personal experience of japa and what has helped me. And what I'm going to talk about today, some of you may be able to relate to it, and some of you may not. For some devotees, what I'm going to share is they're way beyond that point. Basically, if you have spontaneous love and attraction for Krishna, for the holy name, you don't need to hear you don't need to hear this. but if you'd at least like to get on to a kind of a steady footing for chanting, that you at least feel peaceful and able to offer your presence to Krishna, I want to speak on that level. It's kind of like our presence or our attention is love. In fact, that's what we all want. Not only Krishna wants that, but when we see a friend or we see a little child, and we're speaking to them or someone's speaking to us, if we give our attention, our full attention, then they feel love. I mean, it's quite natural. Of course, if we don't give the child our attention, then they'll do something to get our attention one way or another. And this is something actually you can apply not only in japa, but in relationships. Whenever we meet and talk with each other, we can make a conscious intention to give the other person our attention. Even if you just say you're a husband or a wife and you've been working hard all day and you come home, it's pretty much you've been giving your attention all day to work and you're pretty drained out. And everybody needs a little space and personal time. But if you can just make a conscious choice in that moment when you're in front of your child or in front of your spouse or in front of your friend, even if you're in a brahmachari ashram, in front of another brahmachari, you can make a choice to give that person your full attention for 5 minutes. And they'll feel that. Conversely, when we're with others and we're talking and they're doing something else, or even if they're thinking something else, we can feel that, right? And how do we feel? Neglected? like they don't care. We don't feel loved, basically. So love and attention, they're the same thing. Presence. And so Prabhupada, he says to chant japa, chanting Krishna's name means to chant with attention and reverence. So if we don't have spontaneous attraction for the holy name, then it takes some discipline and it takes some focus to do that, especially for any period of time. And so I want to speak about japa in those terms. And I'll just say, and probably many of you have had the same experience when you went into the temple and somebody showed you a pair of beads and they showed you how to chant on the beads, and then they said, just sit down and just hear. Yeah. And that's what Prabhupada also taught. He said, just sit down and chant and just hear. But just hear is quite it's a profound statement. To just hear means you're there, or I'm here, and I'm listening to the holy name. And in order to stay here, I've discovered, at least for me, is that in order to stay here, especially when we're so much identified with our mind, with our thoughts, the way to keep us here is to be aware of your own presence. To actually focus more in the beginning on the awareness of your own presence and then hear the holy name. But keep focusing on where you are and then you'll automatically hear. And when you feel your life, you'll start to feel eventually that your life is coming from Krishna. So you won't feel a difference between the name and Krishna or your life. You'll feel your connection, not mentally, but experientially, that I'm living and my life's coming from Krishna and I'm offering it to the holy name. So that's how I like to approach japa. And I mentioned today in class, it's very helpful to use the body, to transcend the body. To feel your presence, we need the body. Otherwise, it becomes a mental thing. And it's a very simple thing, but it's a very, very profound thing to be aware of your existence, to be self-aware, to feel your life in this moment. That's something no one's ever showed us how to do, and definitely we don't learn it as children in school. And if you don't have that intention to notice your life in this moment, you may never. So once you begin to notice your life, then you start to be able to watch thoughts, watch sensations, and be aware of yourself as that constant presence of awareness. And that may be all your identity in that. At this point, more seeing what you're not than what you are. But it's real, it doesn't require any kind of mental effort. That's why we get tired chanting, when we feel tired, using a lot of mental effort. So I just want to demonstrate this for you, how to use the body to be present for Krishna. It takes a little practice, maybe. But can you feel... First, let me explain the difference between the mind and the self. Okay, the mind is all our thoughts, even spiritual thoughts. They're thoughts. And we're so identified with them that we think that we can't understand ourselves without thinking about ourselves. So if we're very much identified with our thoughts and we don't know that we're thinking, then when we begin chanting, it's not long before we're not hearing the name anymore and we're off daydreaming somewhere. And then we catch ourselves and we come back. And that's good, Because to catch ourselves thinking means that for at least for a second, we have to notice we're not the mind. Otherwise, what's noticing the thinking? But we don't spend enough time there. You need to spend a little bit more time noticing that you're the watcher and cultivate that. So anyway, right now, can you feel your right hand? Yes? As soon as you put your attention there, then you feel sensation. Does it require any effort to feel your right hand? No. Do you have to think about it to feel your right hand? Are you feeling because you're thinking? You put your attention there and you become conscious of your hand, right? Is there any thinking required to feel your hand? No. So the Krishna says that consciousness pervades the body like the sun, the light of the sun pervades the universe. So this is an important statement because we can become aware of our own consciousness by noticing it in the body. Now, feel your right hand again. Can you feel it? Yes. Now, can you feel your right hand yesterday? Huh? No. It sounds like a silly question, but you can imagine or you can have a memory in your mind of what your hand felt like yesterday, but that's an image. It's not real. It's just a picture of what was once real. So we can only discover ourself or the Atma. We can only perceive ourself in the present because the self doesn't have a past or a future. The self is consciousness. It is that which knows. So it is that which knows the hand or even knows the thought or knows the sensation. So feel your right hand again. Now, can you feel your right hand tomorrow? No. But based on your past memories, you can imagine what it might feel like tomorrow. But again, that's an image. It's not real. Only your experience of life is real. And that's the only thing that actually gives us satisfaction. And it's by that experience of our life in the moment that we actually feel a connection with our source, or Krishna. Otherwise, it's all mental. And it requires a lot of mental effort, and you get very tired. And it's never quite satisfying. It's just like only the taste of water will satisfy you. Yeah? You can remember what it feels like to drink water, because you got an image there of it, right? But it's not the same thing. So that's very important for us to be aware of that distinction between consciousness and that what we're conscious of and what's real and what's not. Okay, so now what I'd like you to do, of course this might be a little difficult because everyone's sleepy and tired, unless they're up and clapping in the kirtan. But what I'd like you to do is just close your eyes for a second and feel your hands. Just put your attention there and just become aware of the hands, because wherever you put your attention, that's what you'll become conscious of. And just notice how you, when you direct your consciousness, that's what you'll experience. And there's no mental effort, and it's not an illusion, it's the reality, it's your direct experience. So feel your hands. And now feel your feet. And can you feel your feet and your hands at the same time? Yes. Now feel your belly and your chest and your head. Feel the top of your head. It might feel like a little tingling sensation on the top of your head. The scintillation of life in the cells. Okay, as you breathe in, feel the top of your head. And as you breathe out, feel your feet. And go from head to toe as you breathe in and out, just becoming aware of sensation, the light of consciousness as it flows through the body, which you can only experience in this moment. And as soon as we're lost in thought, we're not able to actually perceive ourselves. So just keep feeling the feeling of life as it flows through the body, and that will anchor your attention in the present moment when you chant. Now I'd like you to place your hand on your heart, your right hand, and just feel as if you're breathing from your heart. You might even feel your heart beating. And just notice that your attention is in the present. And just notice, become aware of your existence in this moment. And if you start to fall asleep, take a deep breath. Breathe a little harder. Now, just repeat after me, but feel the vibration in your heart. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Now, could you feel the physical body vibrating as you say that? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Now, we'll say that again, but see if you can feel every cell in your body vibrate. So not only is your mind chanting, but every cell is following the mind and vibrating as you chant. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama. Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Now just feel your presence in this moment. Again, feel the whole body as you breathe. And see if you can notice how consciousness is flowing through the body. The light of consciousness is illuminating the body with awareness. Feel the heaviness of your body on the floor. You can only feel the body in this moment. So it keeps your attention anchored in the present. And then silently, in your heart, call out to Krishna. Call out the Hare Krishna mantra silently. And feel your heart vibrate with the mantra. And as you're chanting, feel your life. Feel how alive you are in this moment. Feel the fullness and abundance of life that's constantly gifted to us by Krishna. Feel gratitude for your life as you're chanting. It's a very simple, spontaneous thing. If we appreciate our life, we appreciate Krishna. We're only here and alive because of Him. Okay, now grab your japa beads. So thoughts may come and go, you just acknowledge them, and then come back to some sensation in your body. Ideally, you're feeling light. You're aware of your whole body, and you're aware of the presence of consciousness in your body, flowing. You bring your attention back to there, and then to your heart area, and chant from the heart. So thoughts are like clouds. If you acknowledge the thought, or you look at the cloud, but you're aware of it, you can maintain awareness of the cloud and the sky at the same time. The sky is the presence of your life, the presence of consciousness, the presence of awareness. And the thoughts are coming, going through there. But if you become identified with a thought, or you want to, you believe in it, or even you want to get rid of it, oh, I got to stop thinking, then you become more and more absorbed into that thought. And at that point, even though it's just a tiny thought, you can't see the sky anymore, or you can't feel your life. And if you can't feel your life, you really can't feel your connection with Krishna. And you cannot feel satisfied or connected. You'll feel incomplete. And just right now, just feel your life in the body. And without going into the mind, do you feel like you need anything in this moment? Or is everything you need being provided for you? Is consciousness itself complete? And in this moment, do you feel like you need anything? Is the life that Krishna is giving you right now enough? Yeah. So we're chanting, not asking for anything, just being there for the holy name, just offering our life, our presence to Krishna as we chant. And we stay anchored in the presence, in the awareness of our life by feeling the body. Okay. So let's chant one round like that. If you need to stand up, you can stand up if you're feeling sleepy. No one will notice you. You can even stand wherever you are. Feel free to stand where you are. If you do stand, just another little trick. Just bend your knees slightly. And just feel grounded to the earth. And you'll just feel life energy flowing through your body. Just pay attention to that and offer that to Krishna. Offer that to the holy name. Okay, Ichi-ni-san. Let's begin. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna. Just keep feeling life and feel the presence of Haridas Thakur. Let every cell in your body vibrate the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare.
If thoughts arise, just acknowledge the thought, then come back to the feeling of life in the body, offering your attention to the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Okay, stay where you are and become silent for a second. Take a deep breath. Take another deep breath. One more. Focus your attention on your heart area. Just put your attention there. And just notice that's where your consciousness right now. And notice how from there, feel as if you're breathing from your heart and you feel your aliveness, your existence in this moment. And then feel how consciousness is flowing from the heart to the rest of the body. And from your heart, become aware of your whole body. And feel the presence of your life in this moment. And then from your heart, right next to you, Krishna's there, the source of your consciousness, and just silently thank him for your life. And as you're thanking him, just silently repeat his names, feeling grateful for your life in this moment, noticing how your life in this moment, your consciousness is complete and full, and that you only exist because of him. And in that awareness, continue to chant. And gradually begin chanting again. And try and keep your attention on the Hare Krishna mantra for at least 3 mantras. And then, if you lose attention, come back to the feeling of life in your body for another 3 mantras. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We'll chant one more round. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Oh, Haridas Thakur, please inspire me. Please bless me with the pure chanting of the holy name. Please bless all living beings. Let me be your instrument. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna. Okay. Return to silence now. Take a deep breath. And just notice how you feel in this moment. Just feel the body. Feel your life. Feel how you exist. And go to the area of the heart. Become aware of your presence at the heart level. And then ask yourself this question. Is the life that Krishna is giving you in this moment enough? Is there anything more valuable than this life that Krishna's giving us right now? Could it be any more than it already is? Are you enough? Ask this question. Am I enough? And see if you hear a little answer. Now ask Krishna, are you here with me now? And what's the answer? And ask Krishna, do you love me? And what's the answer? And now take a deep breath again. And feel your life. And thank Krishna for your life. And then to begin to chant again. Thanking Krishna for your life. Feeling your life and thanking him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, come to silence again. Take a deep breath. And then before you open your eyes, feel how life is flowing through your body. And then start to notice where you are before you open your eyes. Notice that we're here at the Bhajan Kutir of Haridas Thakur and feel the presence of all the devotees around you. All this concentrated energy of devotion to Krishna and the holy name. How powerful it is. And mentally thank all the devotees. Panchakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Now if you can just please give me your presence. And I'm just going to end with one more statement and then I'm going to turn it over to Vaisheshika Prabhu. There's actually only two possibilities for us. We're either present, which means we're aware of our life in this moment, conscious that we're here and aware, or we're identified with the thoughts in our mind. I call this lost in the illusory world of the mind. And so when we're present, we're in a state of consciousness called presence. So we're aware of our life, which is the truth, the reality in this moment. And we're in an inner state of silence, relating moment to moment to that which is present with us. When we're in the mind, basically, we've abandoned the truth and the reality of life in the present moment for an illusory world of thought. I'm not saying don't think or don't plan, but spend more time in the reality and see the difference between the two, so that when it's time to chant, you can offer your full presence to Krishna. And when you notice that you've gone into the world of illusion, you can come out back out of it, and you know where to come to. You have an anchor, the life in this moment. So when we're in the world of the mind, we're somewhere in the past or we're somewhere in the future. We're not here now, so what we're experiencing isn't real. And using the power of thought, memory, and imagination, we've created a world of illusion, and now we're lost in it. And really, that is the root cause of all suffering, human suffering. If we actually feel our life in this moment, we'll begin to experience that it's full, it's complete, it's purna. Om purnamada purnamidam. Purnam Purnam Udachate, Purnasya Purnamadaya, Purnam Eva Vasishate. Prabhupada says in the purport there that everything that's emanating from the Absolute Truth, which is perfect and complete, is also perfect and complete. And it's only due to incomplete knowledge that we feel incomplete. Knowledge meaning we're not aware of our life in this moment. That's incomplete, or we're lost in the illusory world of the mind. So as soon as we notice that we're lost, we can come back to the reality of life in this moment. Then we feel connected, we feel complete, we feel whole. We don't need anything anymore. We realize Krishna's already given us everything. So we want to offer ourselves to Him out of fullness, not out of a sense of incompleteness, but out of fullness. And then we can peacefully chant without any expectation. Whatever mercy we get, we just... Sometimes I feel like I'm at the doorway of Vaikuntha or Goloka. And I know Krishna's right on the other side. But I don't have the right to barge in there. All that I can do is just sit here and wait and chant His name. And when He decides to open the door, He'll open the door. When He knows that I'm ready, He knows when we're ready. And then when we're ready, when we're ripe mangoes, then He'll take a bite. So I hope this was helpful for you. If you have any, we'll take a couple of reflections or questions, and then we'll turn it over to Vaisheshika Prabhu. Or if you want to... mention how that experience was for you. Okay, all the way in the back there. Karuna Shakti, Mataji, and then behind you. I don't have my glasses on. That's why I was like, I think that's Karuna Shakti. Oh, yes, it is.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. I was wondering, sometimes when I'm chanting, I think of Krishna, or I think of service in the pujari room. Is that okay?
It's okay as long as you know you're thinking. Otherwise, you won't notice the difference between yourself and your thought. And when you don't, and when you're not aware of that, then it takes off on its own. You're not in control anymore. So I would focus more on your presence, your life, which is not a thought, and offering that to Krishna as you just hear His name. Because a lot of times we're actually bored chanting. And in order to suppress that feeling of boredom, we let our mind wander. And unless you're very, very present all the time and very clear and aware when you're thinking and when you're not. In other words, you're a master of it. I would avoid doing that, actually. And as Bhakti Siddhanta says also, we don't have to imagine Krishna. We just have to hear the name and chant purely, and then he'll reveal himself. No mental effort besides just keeping your attention present. And be very aware when you are thinking. Just notice, oh, that's a thought, and watch it. Of course, as soon as you do that, it disappears, because it can only go on as long as we're unconsciously identifying with it. You'll start to notice that. Thank you for your question. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This was such a beautiful thought, and I'm definitely tying it in a knot and taking it back with me, is that when you said that your consciousness is like a sky, and the passing thoughts are like clouds. So when I was chanting, thoughts did come to my mind, but I let it pass, and I sat and I watched them pass like a cloud. So thank you so much for this. This is definitely a takeaway.
Thank you. And when you recognize you're the sky or the consciousness, don't you feel peaceful and complete? No effort, right?
Yes.
So I don't call this ecstatic chanting, but I call it effortless chanting. It's a step. Let me just look over this side, and then we'll go over to this side and come back to this side. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for your class in the morning and now. It's made me realize that, you know, it's very important to remember that we are the spirit soul before we start chanting. And, you know, we're just a speck of dust at Krishna's lotus feet. This body has been given by Krishna as a gift for us to, and it's like a medium for us to hear what we are saying through our ears, which can help cleanse our heart, you know, cleanse the covering of our soul. So this is very nice. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go back over here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, really thank you, you know, for this experience, because I've never felt there's so much life in me. I've never felt, you know, there are so many cells thinking, and, you know, which is, you know, thinking about Krishna, and I basically, it just felt like the level of water is rising, and, you know, it kept rising until the moment that when I asked Krishna that, you know, I'm waiting for you, do you love me, and breeze of air, like, they came on my face, and I felt like I've almost have a moment of connection with Krishna. And I'm still feeling so much outburst of emotions right now at this point of time. I mean, a lot of things happening. So I think it was the best experience that I've ever had, and I feel like I'm still living that moment.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
I'm so happy to hear your experience. Mine's taking a picture of it now. Don't try and recreate it. Just be present. And be willing to accept whatever Krishna gives you in that moment. You know, don't go looking for it. Just feel your life and offer it to Krishna. Okay. Yes.
I recognize that there are so many identities that we have created for ourselves. Going back to when we talked about upadhis at the Dandavanga, and my experience was we indulge in them, and it kind of reinforces and gives it more life.
Yeah, that's how we keep our identity. It's an urge, yeah.
And this experience was a recoil. It was just unwinding, not fueling those layers, those different identities. Then you recognize that so many of your problems, agonies, just disappear with it, because those identities are not yours in the first place. Mm. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, Mataji in the back, and then we'll go to you.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you for your wonderful lecture in the morning and also all the practical suggestions how to be present and experience the consciousness and offer that consciousness through the body to Krishna and do the chanting. Though thoughts were there, when I offer myself with full consciousness, the chanting was effortless. I never realized that the round was over. Earlier, when I was chanting pretending that I have to chant, I have to finish, it was, though it takes 6 or 7 minutes, it was, I was feeling that it was taking forever. But both the rounds went so fast and I felt so happy. Thank you very much for this experience.
Thank you. Harik Das Thakur Ki Jai. I think we got some mercy here. Him and then you. So, oh, okay. All right, we'll come back to you. So, thanks. Oh.
Go?
Yeah. Yes, Murari, go ahead.
I was experiencing that sometimes. Today I'm super tired. So from more of a negative experience in my chanting, trying to stay awake and trying to chant, but not being able to. And I've had the experience before when something's very difficult, or not something, but when chanting becomes very difficult due to the limitations of the body, that sometimes that difficulty can also become an impetus to hear and to try more sincerely to be present, because I experience what a limitation that this body is, and because I'm identifying with my body, I'm submitting myself to those limitations and to those difficulties, and so then when I do have an experience of really chanting and hearing the holy name, and then at the same time I see that juxtaposed with my inability to chant and hear the name due to my identification with the body, it can also become an impetus to be more present also. So that was my experience today.
Okay, thank you. Just a quick note about that. Usually I teach this in two sections. One is about having the foundation of presence, and then how to deal with things like our emotions or our thoughts or tiredness in the body, how to deal with those things that make it difficult to stay present or to feel our presence. Of course, it's imperative that we get enough rest and stay healthy and keep the body fit. But, even if when tiredness arises, even sometimes tiredness arises just because we're bored or because, the body goes through cycles, even though we've had enough rest, whatever we resist will get worse. We become more identified with. So if you feel like you're very tired, like right now, do you feel tired?
No.
Well, if anybody's feeling tired right now, actually acknowledge it and feel it. And just give it your full attention. What does it feel like to be really tired? And then give yourself permission to feel tired. In other words, notice any resistance you have, because we don't like feeling tired, so there's a resistance to it. And see if you can feel that resistance and allow that to be there. And then see if you still feel tired. You can play with that. Thank you, Anandamari Prabhu. I think we'll take one last sharing, and then we should move on, right? Yeah.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Earlier in the morning, I had a realization that for me, you were like a deep analytical devotional wave expert, because I saw many aspects of our psychology of waves of consciousness that were enlightened to me by you. So thank you so much. One out of so many, one key takeaway for me is how we can be present. My goal is how I should be present in the moment, which is full of abundance and bliss and a beautiful gift by Krishna. So thank you for making me aware of that.
Thank you. Yeah, just feel our body. Or you can bring yourself present with something that's present with you in the moment, like Tulsi Devi. Mm-hmm. And give your full attention to Tulsi and feel her presence. And as soon as you feel the presence of something that's present, you'll start to feel your own presence. But it won't be a thought. It'll be a recognition that I'm alive, I'm here. And that's complete. There's no mental effort. And you just play with that, experiment. Okay, thank you very much for your attention and going along with me on this journey. Hare Krishna.
Oma jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun meditandina tasmai shri gurave nama jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita garadhara shivasadi gaura bhaktavinna hare krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Shila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. To maintain anything over a long period of time can be difficult because there are waves of existence. Waves of desires, waves of change in our lives. And to maintain a steady practice requires the wherewithal to come back to it regularly, because inevitably these waves will come into our lives and we may find ourselves distracted or displaced. And our practice of Krishna consciousness, especially chanting, is most effective when done throughout the entire course of life, from pillar to post, as they say here in India. And there are many ways in which the great acharyas talk about chanting just to assist us in the process of staying steady in chanting. One interesting statement by Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto is that one purifies a mantra by studying it and creating awareness of a mantra. The mind may become, over time, disinterested in any kind of practice, even the holy name, chanting the holy name. And if one studies it, or I should say if one studies it, then the mind tends to come back to the mantra. For that purpose, there are many beautiful statements, as I said, written by the great acharyas. One of them that I think of frequently is by Rupa Goswami when he says, Nikila Shuti Mauli Ratnamala. Juti nirajita para pankachanta. And that is that if you take all of the Vedas together, the Upanishads are the crown jewels. And if you see what they're doing, they're performing worship of the tips of the toes of the holy name. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his Arunadaya Kirtan, meant to be sung in the morning. Nambina kichu nahiko aro chauda bhuvana majini. there's nothing to be had within the 14 worlds except for the holy name. That's helpful in controlling the mind and bringing it back, because as soon as one sits down to chant the holy name, the mind might want to go off on a shopping spree and see what else there might be in the world. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if one has faith in this great Acharya, says, believe me, I'm saying definitively that there is nothing else to be had. That can help one stay dedicated to the holy name, remembering this fact that everything is available by focusing on the holy name. Nothing else needed, even in the matter of spiritual advancement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at the end of his Sharanagati, writes a poem about how by chanting he becomes overwhelmed with spiritual emotion. So much so that he describes how his body is soaked with perspiration and his heart is practically shattered by the power of the holy name. And he's feeling almost as if he could die because of this powerful experience of the holy name. Then he says that the holy name takes him by the hand and into the spiritual world and introduces him to his most beloved Lord and his relationship with that most beloved Lord. This is an important passage, actually, because it proves that nothing else is needed. Nam bina kichu nahi ko ora chora bhuvanamaje. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to do anything else. You have full permission by the acharyas to do this one thing and focus there. And then Rupa Goswami says, "I mukta kale rupasyamanam." He says, this is what the liberated souls are doing. All the losers are doing something else. Running here and there, trying to get something that's not really available. But he says, if you want to do what the liberated souls do, here it is. "I mukta kale rupasyamanam." Upasyamanam means they're worshiping the holy name. Only they're doing this. Paritastam harinama samshrayami. So then he says, therefore, I surrender to the holy name. I surrender here. And in previous japa discussions, we've talked about fixing one's sankalpa before starting to chant, because we're not the same person in the morning that we were the night before. And we're not the same person that we were today than we were yesterday, because the mind shifts so much. So to come back and fix the sankalpa, the purpose for chanting ahead of time, making our intention very clearly known to the rest of the mind and body that this is what we're going to be doing now. And it's well-reasoned why we're doing this, because there's nothing else to be had in the 14 worlds. That includes Walmart, 7-Eleven, Macy's, which just went out of business, I think. It'll all go out of business. But the holy name will never go out of business because it's Krishna. So, sorry, I didn't mean to put you all in anxiety or anybody. So, Thakur Haridas gave many instructions about the holy name in a discussion with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one thing he talked about is how the holy name is like the sun. It's self-effulgent, brilliant. But because of the way I'm interacting with the world, it gets covered. For me, from my perspective, that brilliance of the holy name is covered by various kinds of clouds and mist, he says. And then he names them specifically, and it's helpful to know what they are. One aspect of covering is what he calls avidya, which means mistaking the body to be the self. Satyadeva Prabhu talked about that quite a bit this morning and quoted from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, who imparted this wisdom to Arjuna and does so also throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. He goes to great lengths to talk about, for instance, to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of the state of consciousness in the material world, which is like dreaming. And he says that sometimes we dream that we've awoken from a dream, but we're still in the dream, a dream within a dream. The kind of information and ways in which Satyadeva Prabhu was giving us a construct to understand how the mind works and how it gets distracted is something that Krishna goes into at great length in summary form in the Gita and then at great length in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, Jayato Vishayam Pumsam Sangaste Shupajayate, says anything that you contemplate, any idea that you contemplate, contemplate means you look at it and you consider there's something in this for me, maybe something of value. And when that happens, then I make a connection with it and it becomes a problem for me. There's a sangha. Now it's a part of me, sa-anga. And it's just something. But then when I identify with it, it becomes my something. And now it's a burden for me. For instance, you can be sitting there thinking and then take upon your head some problem that floats by. And you think, oh, I have to solve this problem right now. For instance, somebody wrote me 2 weeks ago and I forgot to write him back, so now I have to jump up and do that. And next thing you know, it's like, God, I've got 17 things from Facebook. I better look at those too. And the next thing I know, it's past time for chanting japa and I didn't do anything. It's possible. So there's a way in which this misidentification with the thoughts, with the mind, is something that Haridas Thakur says covers over our ability to see the holy name. And then he talks about asat trishna, which means a thirst for things that are temporary, which Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, avyantavanta konteya nate shuramate buddha. He said smart people don't do that because you'll just be disappointed again and again. So identify those things that are temporary and don't put value in them. And then the third thing he says is a cloud or mist that covers over our ability to see the holy name and to fully experience the presence of Krishna in his name is aparadha. Aradha means, aradhanam means true worship, and aparadha means those things that are against worship. And there's ways in which the scriptures go into detail about offenses I can make while chanting, and those are known to everyone, the 10 offenses. And then there's offenses one might make to devotees, and there's offenses that one might make in worshiping the deities. And we heard the other day also that offending other living entities also is an offense. Well, that's redundant, but the point is we should be careful, because even in the process of Ashtanga Yoga, unless you're careful about how you interact with the world, for instance, if you're not truthful, if you tell a lie, you won't be able to sit down peacefully, because as soon as you do, then you'll start thinking about, now what am I going to do about the lie I told? And there's one layer after another of thought that I become attached to try to cover up for it. I like what you said this morning about being open and vulnerable. It's very helpful in the process. And Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam that one's eyes should be trained to spot offenses. Train your eyes to spot offenses, not in everybody else, but in your own practice. And to deliberately try to avoid those offenses. It's helpful. It's very helpful to do that. And then Haridas Thakur talks about, just giving a brief summary, that there are various levels of chanting. And Prabhupada very encouragingly gave us a summary of this, saying that there's offensive chanting, and then there's the clearing stage, and then there's pure chanting. When Haridas Thakur talks about offensive chanting, he specifically talks about a Mayavad conception, how people who don't have a conception of the Supreme Personality of God but think I'm chanting because I'm going to become God are specifically offensive. But he mentions that there's a kind of chanting in which I'm attempting to overcome the offenses and to be sincere. And this is a clearing stage. So in that realm, he mentions that this namabhas, which means you get the indirect effect of the holy name. And I had an experience, which I've said so many times because I found it to be a metaphor that works in this circumstance. During San Francisco Rath Yatra about 10 years ago, I went to the Rath Yatra site, and as Mark Twain said, you won't find a colder winter than a summer in San Francisco. And it was cloudy, and so I didn't wear a hat. And I worked all day at the Rath Yatra site thinking it's cloudy, so no problem. And then the next day I was severely sunburned. And then I looked on the internet and it said, stupid, there's rays that you can't see that are coming through, ultraviolet rays that come through the clouds. And in the Shraddha, this stage of namabhas, there's a way in which, even though I may not be able to see the holy name, I may see just clouds because I'm exposing myself to that vibration. Some effect is there. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam goes at great lengths to talk about, in the sixth canto, the different ways in which people who don't even know what the holy name is might chant it. Some may do it derisively and criticize devotees and say, Hare Krishna, get out of my way. Or some people may do it jokingly, and some people may do it incidentally because the syllables happen to be there and they go to Krishna copy to have some copies made. That's a pretty good one. And various ways in which one gets benefit from the holy name. So Haridas Thakur says, this is namabhas, means you're getting some effect of the holy name. And it's definitely there, and we hear about it in the elaborate story of Ajamil, who got the great benefit of chanting, even though he was doing it unintentionally. But then, very encouragingly, Haridas Thakur says, there's low-level namabhas and there's a high-level namabhas. So low-level means that somehow or other, incidentally, you hear the holy name. You speak it. And that is in the various categories I just mentioned. And then he said there's a high-level namabhas, which he calls Shraddha namabhas, which means that although I don't have a taste, I have faith because I've studied the mantra and I've received it from those that I trust. And therefore, he says, here's the encouraging part, that when you chant in Shraddha Namabhas, you'll definitely come to the perfectional stage. And therefore, Haridas Thakur says, while chanting Hare Krishna, that is throughout one's lifetime, it's important to simultaneously hear about one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to hear from the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, hear about the mantra, the efficacy of the mantra. And by constantly hearing and chanting the holy names, one can remain steady over a long period of time in chanting Hare Krishna. And we'll come to that perfectional stage. So one can remember this when sitting down to chant Hare Krishna, that the rays are coming through, and that if very faithfully I lean into my chanting and chant with great sincerity, then I will definitely be successful by the mercy of the holy name. And that just brings me to the point of sincerity. And that is one of the ways in which one can chant with great attention is to find one's own sincerity in chanting. There's a reason that we're chanting. There's a reason that we surrendered to Krishna. And if I find that within my heart, or even if I can't find it, if I'm looking for it, that's why I like to call it the great search for sincerity. If you're chanting and you're begging Krishna, please reveal where I left it. I know it's around here somewhere. It's hidden somewhere, my sincerity. I just want to find it. I just want to sincerely chant. And just the very act of looking for it brings one to a heightened state of chanting. And then there are some very useful, albeit mechanical, ways of assisting one's chanting. And now we're all sitting here and we're a little drowsy, but I'll try as an experiment. And that is that just for about 10 seconds, try sitting up straight. Ish. Straighter than you were just a minute ago. And even if you adjust it by half an inch, and what's the difference now? For me, there's a big difference, because now I'm going like, wow, they're all listening. Not that you weren't before, but it becomes even more apparent. And I notice oftentimes if I'm sitting talking to somebody, if I sit up straight and I really look at them, then they get enlivened. They start like, wow, this guy really likes me and likes what I'm saying. And I always find that it's really easy to be listening to somebody but not listening to him at the same time. I'm actually thinking about what I'm going to say when he shuts up, because I have something better to say than what he has to say. That's the thought pattern that's going through. And this process of listening, I know once Nirkula read a book about listening. I didn't even know if she read it. She just got the book, and it just bringing it in the house had a big effect. It's like, what's the book about listening? It was, wow, that's a concept. Listen. And so what is that science of listening? Because we talk about it all the time. Just listen to the holy name. Just be there for the holy name and so forth. And one of the things that you can do is sit up straight. And I love this example. I think others have given this at other japa retreats about going to an interview. And if you sit down, you want the job, and then you're like, yeah, all right, cool. They'll just, although they may finish the interview, if you're lucky, they'll scratch you off the list just because of the way you sat. And not that you have to sit like a yogi all the time, but just be aware of the fact that as soon as you adjust yourself a little bit and sit up a little bit straight posture-wise, the rest of the mental system takes notice and goes, oh, we're going to do something now? Something really important is happening now because you sat up straight. I mean, that is why yogis keep a straight spine. It keeps them in that zone. And then the other two, mechanical, or one of them at least is mechanical, and that is pronunciation. I've done this experiment with myself many times, and that is I've developed the courage, and it does take a lot of courage to record myself chanting, because it can be a revelation that, oh, I understand, I haven't been actually saying the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for some time. And just bringing my awareness to the fact that it is a mantra, and it does have words and it does have syllables. And Rupa Goswami calls it paramaksharakrite. It's the supreme combination of syllables So it's important to actually pronounce them. And if I think of that while I'm sitting up straight and I'm thinking this is the supreme combination of syllables and I'm enunciating them carefully, that also brings me to a heightened state of awareness. Like Satyadev Prabhu said, using the body to transcend the body is helpful. And then the third point, as they say in the three Ps, is prayer. And the best example I've found is the one Prabhupada has given about crying. And that is that if a baby's crying for its mother, then the mother comes running, especially if the baby's feeling completely helpless. And I can think of a few times in my life when I felt completely helpless. One time I was in Japan, and I went for a long walk, and then I got lost. And I was really lost, and there was a flight the same afternoon. And when I was walking down on the first part of the walk before I turned around and got lost, because there was two rivers, not one. And I was thinking, you know, I'm pretty cool. And I'm chanting really nicely, and I'm in a foreign country, and everything's good. As they say, like cop and lean, like they do here in India when they get on a motorcycle. They cop a lean. They get on and then they put sunglasses on, a little dot up here, and then they'll and they're like, I'm cool. So I was thinking like that. And then when I got lost, it was like somebody came and hit me with a 2x4 over the head and said, you're an idiot. You're a complete fool. And you're lost in a foreign country. What are you going to do now, stupid? And as soon as I felt like that, I felt like completely helpless. And I really started chanting instead of lackadaisically. I was chanting, oh, Krishna, please, I'm lost. And I was thinking of it as a metaphor for the whole experience in the material world, being lost and lost and lost and lost. And if I can recreate that situation when I sit down to chant and remember, I really am lost. I don't know where I came from, where I'm going, what's going to happen next. And to stay in that kind of consciousness is very beneficial for chanting. One can actually pray and call out, Krishna, I'm lost, please save me. It's such a simple thing. And one day when I was doing Sankirtan with our old Pujari, Madhukanta Prabhu, we were down in Santa Cruz, and we always teach people the mantra right after they buy a book. And so he was teaching somebody the mantra, and the lady, she had two kids, and she goes, what does it mean? And Madhukanta is such a sadhu, I wanted to hear what the meaning of the mantra was. So I went over close to hear what he was going to tell her. And he goes, it means I need help. And I thought, that's really good. And when I sit down to chant, or when I sat down to chant the next day, I was thinking, I need help. I really need help. Krishna, please help me. And in that prayerful mood, Krishna responds when the prayer is really intense. And Queen Kunti says it, if you get intoxicated by thinking that I'm good, if you're copping a lean, you're not going to feel it the same way as when you're completely helpless. And the last metaphor that I really I thought of a while back was when the Malaysian Airlines jet went down. They just gave up last week looking for it. Did you know that? Yeah. One thing I noticed it because for some reason, it really affected me when that flight went down. I heard about it, and then they were looking. They couldn't find it anywhere. There's no even trace of it. And it's really disturbing. All those people were on the flight, and then somehow in the ocean it went down. They don't know why it went down. They don't know how it went down. They don't know where it was. And one of the reasons they didn't know is because on the flight, on these airplanes, they have what's called a black box. And within the black box, there's a transponder, and it puts out this little electronic ping. It's going ping, ping, ping. And it lasts for about 3 or 4 days after the airline, if it gets disengaged or it crashes. And it's then easy to find the where it went down. For some crazy reason, the box didn't work. There was no ping. There was no transponder. So just blank, nothing, lost completely. Very disturbing. And I was thinking about that one day when I was chanting, And I was thinking as I was chanting, I'd say, this is the transponder. This mantra, as I'm lost at the bottom of the ocean in the material world, but when I make that sound, the Hare Krishna sound, it's like that transpondence that's going out all the way to the spiritual world, and Krishna can find me. He knows where I am. He knows the state of my heart when I'm chanting with sincerity. And then he can come, as that picture shows, in the Bhagavad Gita, when he comes down riding on Garuda, and he just scoops up the living entity from the material world. But if you don't keep your transponder on, he's not going to know where you are. I mean, he knows where you are, but if you don't want to get picked up, then he won't come and pick you up. So the three things are posture, pronunciation, and prayer, those three things. And then studying the mantra carefully. Look at it and look at the verses that describe the holy name. You can make a collection of those verses and remember what is the nature of the holy name. And those are just a few ideas that I had about chanting japa that have been helpful to me. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. He suggested we take a couple of reflections, and just after that, we'll stand up and say Gauranga, and then we'll hear from Madhavananda Prabhu. Naimasaranya Prabhu. The microphone's just coming around the pillar.
Hare Krishna. So there was a class in Dallas, and His Holiness Ritadwaja Maharaj was speaking about japa, and he said, to sum up japa, we can do it in three words, and that is intention, attention, and then retention. And, you know, we had this same thought here, so it was very nice. Thank you.
And often, I mean, the word has the small word within it, ten, which actually means to stretch. In Latin, it means to stretch. Ten. Like tendon. A tendon, and it also connects things. It stretches and it connects. But like bone and muscle are held together by tendons. And there's a way in which our attention, our intention, will determine our attention. If I have a full intention, my intention is very strong, then my attention will be acute. Otherwise, if my intention isn't strong, then my mind may wander. I may just give up the practice altogether. Thank you. Nirakula.
Since we're here at Srila Haridas Thakur's Samadhi, there's something that sometimes I think of when I'm chanting, and there are those two stories of when the women came to try to distract Haridas Thakur, and it's the second one I'm thinking of. And the Thakur was chanting, and a beautiful woman came before him, and it says that she started striking these poses that would even distract Lord Brahma. And she stayed for quite some time while Haridas Thakur was chanting and, you know, trying to distract him, trying to get him to, you know, be with her. And when he wouldn't, you know, she had tried everything, she admitted to him that she was Maya Devi herself, Maya Devi personified. And he had resisted Maya Devi. And then she begged for his shelter. And she took initiation from Haridas Thakur. And that gives me hope, because I think that, you know, all the inattentiveness or the offenses I'm committing when I'm chanting is Maya. So when I'm really having a tough time trying to focus, I say a little prayer to her as the disciple of Haridas Thakur. Come on, give me a little help here. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Pray to Maya. Narendra Prabhu.
I really like your words, that three, I will try to follow that three staff posture, then
pronunciation
and prayer. Mm. And I was only concentrating on two previously. Now I'll add the third one also. Previously I was taking the name of God and the prayer. Those were the two main things all the time. But I think posture is very important, that otherwise people get sleep.
Thank you, Narendra Prabhu. Chaitanya.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So Maharaj, last night I wrote my first letter to Giriraj Maharaj, and in return he replied to me. The same thing I'm going to just say here. He said that I've been truly blessed with this Puri Yatra in many ways. And may what you have learned and experienced and realized, there remains always in my heart. So I beg and I wish, you know, it always remains in my heart, the experience, whatever I've learned here, and which includes the chanting as well, I think. Yeah.
Hari Bo.
Thank you so much. I was just appreciating how Haridas Thakur was the Namacharya of the chanting of the holy names, and how he also was Sankirtan partner with Lord Nityananda. So I was appreciating that what you're speaking about today in terms of the mind and japa is something that is applied throughout the day, especially during our service and when engaging the conditioned souls, to have that kind of focus and consciousness. So the two together are so wonderful, and I'm very grateful for all of you to observe how you do this, because you have such good hearts. So I think it's wonderful to be with you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. You reminded me of something that I like to talk about, and that is inducing others to chant Hare Krishna. And as I mentioned, Madhukanta Prabhu, in the context of Madhukanta Prabhu, after selling someone a book and then asking to chant Hare Krishna. So we say oftentimes, do you believe in the power of prayer? And they'll say oftentimes, yes. If they say no, we say, perfect, I'll give you a mantra. And either way, then we show them the Hare Krishna mantra on a card or a piece of paper. And we say, this is a beautiful prayer meant to wake up love for God within the heart. Or if they're more oriented towards yoga, or they're a little bit atheistic or something, we'd say it in a more sectarian way, that it's meant to purify the heart. And then we say, so it's a little hard to say, so I'll say the mantra and you can repeat. Are you ready? And they oftentimes say yes. And before they even say anything, I usually say, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. We do this, right, Melanie? Yes. So oftentimes, or sometimes I should say, not often, but every once in a while, there's a great blessing because we'll say, are you ready? And there's several circumstances. One of them is maybe there's a couple there. And let's say the guy goes, yeah, I'm ready. And then his wife will grab him by the arm and say, Larry, don't do it. I'm like, why? And they go, we don't know what's in it. We don't know what it's going to do. And it's happened many times, actually. And I always appreciate that almost even more than them chanting sometimes, because it reminds me that, yeah, what is this anyway? It's such a deep incantation. When the gopis were talking to the flute, they were saying, you're entering into this dangerous cult. at the lips of Krishna and so forth. And I just think that there's something in this mantra, and living entities sense it. And if just incidentally chanting or getting somebody to chant on the street could have such an effect, what happens if you actually lean into it? what happens if you really try? And there's a verse like that in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in which Krishna says, if anybody even incidentally says the holy name, then I won't leave their heart. Said, what to speak of someone with that chants with pure love? What to speak of that? So it's good to remember how merciful the holy name is, so much so that Rupa Goswami says, Vacham Vashakam Ityudeti Bhavato Dvanta Vibhavo. He says that there's no difference between the holy name and Krishna, but then he says, but there is a difference. The holy name is more merciful because it'll follow you anywhere, even to the depths of the material world. And just if you say it, then you'll be merged back in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness by associating with the holy name. Gop Premanande Haribo. And now save the best for last today, with the icing on, well, he put some cake, and now the icing. So we welcome Madhavananda Prabhu to say some, to glorify the holy name, give us some instruction. Hare Krishna. Larry, don't do it. Well, it depends. It really depends. We do the best we can in those cases. One, two, three. Go! Go! Ranga! One, two, three. Go! One, two, three. Gauranga. So we learn one thing from Harisari Prabhu in Mayapur. Shakale Bashun. Please, everybody sit down. I can't concentrate until the devotee's a little focused. You know, after this morning's class from Satyadev Prabhu, such a nice talk, I had a question in my mind, but I thought it's really not a very such a Krishna conscious question. I was thinking about Mrs. White. And I thought, I wonder what she's been doing after that. And it's such a mystical thing here at Siddha Bakul, Krishna, he answers our questions. And my question was answered. I found out that Mrs. White, after she retired from being a teacher, she opened up a website talking about getting sunburns. And then now she's walking around in Japan with a 2x4. So we'd like to teach everybody a little song. I think you can learn this song in just a few minutes. Do we have a mridanga player? Okay. So please, everybody, repeat after me. This is, first of all, this is a song that they sing here in Orissa about the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because here in Orissa, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is very famous. Practically any village that you go to, they have Ashtaprahara Kirtan on Akadasis or Janmashtami or something. They do 24-hour Kirtan. They have deities of Gornitai all over Orissa, small villages. There's a tradition, even amongst the Smartas, we could call them Mayavadis, that during the wedding ceremony, as part of the ceremony, the wife, the bride, gets initiated in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's very prominent in Orissa. So they have this little song that they sing in some places. It's about the Maha Mantra. So I'd like you to learn this. Repeat it after me. It's not very hard. Rama.
Rama.
That was pretty easy, right? Okay. Nama.
Nama.
Rama Nama.
Rama Nama. Ladua.
Ladua. Rama Nama Ladua. Krishna. Nama,
Nama,
Krishna Nama,
Krishna Nama.
Ghee.
Ghee, Krishna Nama Ghee. Let's do it all at once. Rama Nama Ladua Krishna Nama Ghee. Rama Nama Ladua Krishna Nama Ghee. Hari Nama. Hari Nama. This is the hardest part. Kanda. Kira. Kanda Kira. Hari Nama Kanda Kira. Gori. Gori. Gori Gori. P. Gori Gori P. Hari Nama Kanda Kira. Gori Gori P. Hari Nama Kanda Kira. Gori Gori P. So it has a very nice meaning. That the name of Lord Ram is like a ladu, the name of Krishna is like very nice fragrant ghee, and the name of Lord Hari is like Kanda Kira sweet rice. So what do? You take the Ramanama Ladua, you add some Krishna Nama ghee, and then some Hari Nama Kanda Kira and Gori Gori, you mix it all up, and then pee, you drink it. Rama Nama Ladua Krishna Nama Ghee, Bolo. Rama Nama Ladua Krishna Nama Ghee. Hadi Nama Kanda Kira Gori Gori Pi. Hari Nama Kanda Kira Gori Gori P. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Hari Das Thakur, Jai Hari Das Thakur. Hare Das Thakur, Jai Hare Das Thakur. Jai Hare Das Thakur, Jai Hare Das Thakur. Hare Das Thakur, Jai Hare Das Thakur. Jai Vaishnav Thakur, Ami Tomara Kukur. Vaishnav Thakur, Ami Tomara Kukur. Jai. Jai, Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jai, Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Shri Guru Nitai Gaur, Premanandi Hudi Hudi Bo, Gora Graganya Gana Gaucha Goloru Haram, Goranga Gura Tamago Pyara Kopa Briksham, Gopala Gada Rati Dam Yati Singha Gora, Govinda Deshi Kavaram Satatam Namami. Panchakalpaturubhischa Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. It's so wonderful to be in such a place and to be able to chant the holy name. And it's even more wonderful to be in such a place and to be able to chant the holy name with so many wonderful devotees. It's the best, isn't it? So we'd like to just say a few words about Hare Das Thakur and then something about the holy name. Whenever I come to Puri, I live in Puri, I'm struck thinking about Hare Das Thakur, as Vaisheshika Prabhu was saying the other day. In Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, Bhaktivinod Thakur has described that he was Lord Brahma. It said, Chaturmukho Jagatkarta Chaturveda Parayana Haridasa Kalo Jata Brahmanam Tvam Namamyaham. That Lord Brahma became Haridas Thakur. He did an offense which in many countries to this day is punishable by death. Kidnapping. And he didn't just kidnap anybody, but he kidnapped Krishna's dearest friends and the cowherd boys. And we know the story, right? During that 1 year that they were gone, Krishna expanded himself in the form of all those boys. Interesting point from some of our acharyas. It was that year in Braj that all the gopis got married. Interesting thing. So then so many things happened, and Lord Brahma, he begged forgiveness. And Krishna told him, you're my devotee, it's no problem. And Lord Brahma said, that's not good enough. I have this problem. It's also described by Lord Brahma in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says, Tanmayayaiva satatam jagatoham guru prabhu. My problem is that I think I'm in charge of everything. I think I'm the big guru, pitamahascha krishnasya. That I'm pitamaha, I'm the grandfather. Krishnasya nabhi padma samudbhava. I appeared from the nabha. The navel of Krishna. In this way, I'm so very, very proud. So if you want to give me some benediction, the benediction that I request from you is you let me take birth in a very low family. And Krishna said, Tatastu, so be it. And so he took birth as Haridas Thakur in a Muslim family. And as many things I find very instructive about Haridas Thakur, our acharyas have described him as the Namacharya, the acharya of the holy name. One thing that I find very striking about him, here at Siddha Bakul, Bhaktivinoda says that Haridas Thakur told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Amito adama tumi adama tarana ubaye sambandha e patita pavana. This is who I am. Amita adama. I'm fallen, and I know who you are. Tumi adama tarana. You're the deliverer of the fallen. Ubaye sambandha e. This is our connection. And without me, you wouldn't have any meaning. Because you're Patit Pavan. So I'm Patit. I'm the most fallen. So we have this connection. This kind of relationship. Haridas Thakur, he never denied his background. He never went around trying to tell everybody, excuse me, do you mind getting out of the way? The Namacharya is coming. He didn't act like that. Rather, he always addressed himself as the most fallen, the most wretched. He never tried to tell people that, don't you know I'm the pujari in the temple, or I'm the number one book distributor, I'm the temple president, and this or that. He always accepted his position. Shutadev Prabhu, Satyadev Prabhu is making this point, which I feel is a very, very important point. Jiva Goswami makes this point that he was saying in his Bhakti Sandarbha. He said, we should perform a kite of a bhajan, honest bhajan, not sakaitava. So Haridas Thakur, he was being honest. He's just what he was, who he is. But who is he? This is another interesting point. He's Lord Brahma. And he comes here to Jagannath Puri. Who installed the deities of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra in the temple? Can someone say? Lord Brahma. And now he comes as Haridas Thakur. When he goes to the temple, what do they tell him? I only knew two words in Oriya. Prabeshni Shed. Same in Hindi. Entrance forbidden. Bideshi Prabeshni Shed, especially. Very bad. You're not allowed entrance. Now he could have said, get the hell out of my way. Don't you know who I am? I'm the one who installed the deities here, Baba. He could have gone to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was respected by Maharaj Pratyaprudra and others. He could have gone to Kanai Kuntia, who lives just a stone's throw over here, away from here, who was a head priest at that time and a devotee of Mahaprabhu. And they could have petitioned on his behalf to go inside, but he never did. And I find this a very powerful lesson in our Nam Bhajan. Haridas Thakur never had the attitude of entitlement. And that's a very important thing. He was always ready to accept whatever Krishna gave him through the medium of the pandas or through the medium of other people. He didn't try to claim something. One devotee, one senior Prabhupada disciple once told me that they felt the biggest problem in our movement today was this attitude of entitlement. That we go places, we go to another temple, we're traveling, and we expect to get prasadam, we expect to get a place to stay, we expect this, we expect that, because after all, I'm a devotee, I've been a devotee so long, I'm initiated, don't you know who I am? It's good if you're a temple manager to feed visiting devotees, please do that, and give them some place to stay. But there's two ways to look at the universe, from the bottom looking up or from the top looking down. And they're very different perspectives. One perspective is a perspective of a manager. That's not my perspective. The other one is from the layperson on the bottom. And Haridas Thakur has taught us how to do our bhajan. And he taught us that it's not necessary to try to see Krishna. Rather, you behave in such a way, Krishna will try to see you. So he was staying here. At that time, you could see the chakra on top of the Jagannath Mandir from here. And he didn't have to go to see Lord Jagannath. Jagannath was coming to see him every day in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mm-hmm. Because of the japa, the chanting that Haridas Thakur was doing. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in school, we had this program every week or so. They called it Show and Tell. That was one of our favorite parts of school when I was growing up. And somebody would come back from vacation and they would, you know, show some rock that they found at the beach or whatever it was. So this is a little bit of show and tell. One day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every day, Mahaprabhu was going to Mangal Artik in the Jagannath Mandir. And one such day, when he went there, they gave him a toothbrush of Lord Jagannath. Because you know, Jagannath, you can't see it, but he has teeth. And he has a toothbrush. Yeah. And what to do, it's going to happen. And so one day when he went in the morning, they gave him this old dead stick, like this. This is a toothbrush of Lord Jagannath. You can pass it around. Huh? And here's another one. This one is better. Mataji, smell this one. That's got the stuff on it. Yeah, it's got, they call it Karpur here in Orissa. It has some camphor on it. That's, he doesn't use toothpaste, he uses Karpur. It gives him very nice breath for his wife. So, one such day, they gave him this old dead stick. And then after Mangal Artik, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to see Haridas Thakur. And he took that dead stick and he stuck it in the ground. And suddenly that dead stick started growing. And it's still growing today. This tree is known as Siddha Bakul, and this tree is one of the last living associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, when I come here, I think about this tree. One thing that I reflect on is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Sarvajna. He knows past, present, and future. And he knew when he planted that tree that it would grow. He knew that Haridas Thakur would sit under this tree and chant. And he knew that Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis would come here. And he knew that all of us would come here. And this tree, who is one of the last living associates of Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, in effect, instructed this tree, now you wait until the devotees from ISV come. And you give them some special asirbad, some special benediction. Mm-hmm. This is a wish-fulfilling tree. Once I was giving a class here, and there was one Gaudiya Mutt sannyasi who was sitting nearby, and he was watching. And after the katha, he came over to me, and he said, "What's the name of your guru?" Haribhakti Vilas, it says you shouldn't say the name of your guru. But if you do, if someone asks, it doesn't mean you say, "I don't know." But you fold your hands and you bow your head and you say Sri Srimad before his name. So I told them the name of my Guru Maharaj like that. And he looked at me and said, "I thought so. The things you were saying." He said, "You know, the first time I met your Guru Maharaj was here at Siddha Bakul. I was a brahmachari then and I came and there was this elderly sannyasi chanting japa here. And he was very, very intense and very effulgent. And suddenly he noticed me, and he turned to me and he said, 'Baba, sadhu sabadan, sadhu, be careful. This tree is a kalpavriksha tree. And whatever you pray for here will come true.'" So when we come here, we like to pray for the devotees. We like to pray for someone else, for some benediction for them. We would like to pray for somebody who couldn't come on the yatra because they were in an accident or something happened. Say some prayer for someone else. It's a very, very powerful thing. And there's a number of stories about this tree. I don't want to go in that direction right now because our time's a little short. But I wanted to say a little something about the holy name. And I'd like to speak something about a great mystery of the holy name. What is the mystery of first initiation? Now you may say, "What kind of question is that?" But if you think about it, if we contemplate it, we can see that it's a very mysterious thing. In traditional Vedic culture, have you ever heard, any of the Indian devotees here who know Indian culture, have you ever heard of anyone chanting a mantra before they get initiated? No. It's unheard of. But we have that. When Prabhupada gave first initiation after 6 months or a year of chanting 16 rounds, they were already chanting the mantra. And they got first initiation, Harinam initiation. Second thing, have you ever heard of someone getting initiation into a mantra and the guru doesn't speak it at the time of initiation? Traditionally, the guru speaks a mantra in the ear of the disciple. But I've been to so many first initiation ceremonies. I've never seen or heard of Prabhupada or any of our gurus speaking the mantra in the ear of the disciple. So how do we understand this? Now, some people will say something that we don't like, something we find very unpalatable. They'll say, anyway, Prabhupada was just trying to encourage. And really, the ceremony doesn't have so much meaning. But if you say that, it's going to cause pain in the hearts of all the devotees if you're going to imply that Prabhupada was doing something meaningless. Uh-huh. So we should contemplate this thing very, very deeply. What did Srila Prabhupada do at the time of initiation? What are the elements of first initiation? Just think about it. Sometimes there's a fire yagya, sometimes there wasn't. Our dear god-uncle Nrisinghananda Prabhu, there was no fire yagya when Prabhupada gave him his name and accepted him as a disciple. But generally what Prabhupada did were two aspects. He would request the devotee to make a vow, right? And there was a couple of vows, four principles, and there was a fifth vow, 16 rounds, right? And then Srila Prabhupada would give a lecture. And what would he speak on? The 10 offenses to the holy name. So let's contemplate this a little bit. In the Padma Purana, there's a famous verse that many of you know. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhi Jivado Swayam Eva Spirat Yada. Now, let's look at that verse very carefully. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Grayam Indriyai. The verse categorically, emphatically states that with your senses, you cannot perceive the holy name. You can't chant. A similar statement is made by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in chapter 23 of Jiva Dharma. Jagate maya bada hoya jadindriya jadindriyara dwara sudanam era ucharana korite parinana. Someone cannot perform pure Harinam with their material senses which are bound by maya. It's not possible to chant the pure name with your senses which are bound by maya, because that name is none different from Krishna. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Grayam Indriyai. We can't perceive it. With our indriya, our knowledge-acquiring senses, and then he says that Sevan Mukhi, if you do service, with what? Hijivado, with the tongue, but excuse me, the tongue is one of the knowledge-acquiring senses. And you just said, just in the previous line, that you can't perceive the name with the tongue. And now you're saying that with the tongue, and it's very confusing. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explained this very nicely. It's a mystery of the holy name, a secret of the holy name. He said once that there's no sadhu, there's no name. Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam A Matra Chai. Jagadananda Pandit has categorically stated these two things must go together. Sadhu Sangha and Krishna Nam. From Sadhu Sangha, what do you get? If you're really doing Sadhu Sangha, you get Krishna Nam. And then what do you get by chanting Krishna Nam? You get deeper Sadhu Sangha. And from deeper Sadhu Sangha, what do you get? You get deeper Krishna Nam. And from deeper Krishna Nam, what do you get? You get even deeper Sadhu Sangha. And from even deeper Sadhu Sangha, what do you get? You get even deeper Krishna Nam. The two are in cause and effect. And we can't have one without the other. Arjuna tells Krishna in the Gita, he says, forget all this meditation stuff. I can't do this. Chanchala himana Krishna. And he said, my mind, it's just chanchala. It's going here, it's going there. It's so very, very confusing, so very, very difficult. So there's so many different processes of yoga and meditation to try to control that wicked mind. But we understand, Krishna says, yoginam api sarvesham magatin antaratmana shradavam bhajate yomam. Mm-hmm. That the best of all the yogis is a devotee. Because naturally our mind will go where our heart is. If our heart is already there, if we have some feeling for something, then the mind will go there. So there's also a process of chanting japa by which we control our mind through our heart from the beginning. We often hear, my Guru Maharaj used to, he coined this phrase, that Atma Krandana. This is the bhajan of Srimati Radharani, the crying of the soul. And this is the bhajan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the bhajan of pure devotees. But how am I doing Atma Krandana? Huh? I'm doing some stool Krandana. I'm crying for stool, for bags of stool and urine and puss. That's all I'm crying for. I'm not crying for the soul, from the soul. I'm crying in some mundane way. Mm-hmm. So there's a process of chanting the holy name, which is connected with Gurudev. And this is the mystery of first initiation. There's another interesting verse, which is also very mysterious. In the beginning of his Mukta Charit, Raghunath Das Goswami is given a beautiful and very famous Mangalacharana. And he starts it by stating, Nama Shrestham, Manamapi Satchiputram Matra Swarupam. And he's offering prayers to his Gurudev. And the first thing he says is that Gurudev gave me Nama Shrestham. Well, excuse me, hello. Are you saying that there's a difference between Nam? Krishna's, his name is not different from him. 5 days a week, but on the weekends he has a couple days off, and the name's not different than him. It is different than him. That doesn't make any. How is it you can say that person is Advaya Tattva, who's non-dual? How can you speak about the name in this way? Nama Shrestham, the topmost name. Jiva Goswami, in his Laghu Vaishnav Toshini commentary on the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, he says there's two types of chanting. There's Kevala Nam, common chanting, and there's Sneha Samyukta Nam, chanting with affection. And this chanting with affection, this is the best way to control our mind. This is the best way to fix our mind on the holy name. And this is the mystery of first initiation. We're already chanting the holy name before initiation. Why? Rupa Goswami describes Sri Chaitanya Makodgirna Hare Krishna Tivarnakaha Majayanta Jagat Premni Vijayanta Tadavaya. He said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already gave the holy name to everyone. So you don't have to get it at the time of initiation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already gave it to everyone. So then, hello, there's another question then. So then what is this first initiation ceremony all about? What is the necessity of it? There's a great necessity. Because Krishna, he tells Arjuna in Adi Purana, ye me bhakta jana parta na me bhakta sate janaha mad bhaktanam cha ye bhakta sate me bhakta tamo mata. A person who says he's my devotee in any of the manifestations of Krishna, you're a devotee of Radha Shyam Sundar, the deities in Vrindavan, and you're their pujari, or you're a devotee of Krishna's form, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarveshroy, you're a devotee of Krishna's form as the Bhagavatam, or you're a devotee of Krishna's form as his name. If we think I can approach it on my own, it's not possible. Mm-hmm. And therefore, Atashri Krishna Nama De Naba Vedgrayam Indriyai. We can't approach it, but Sevan Mukihi Jivado. When we chant the holy name as service to Gurudev. And this is the mystery of first initiation. You're already chanting the holy name before. What is the difference now in that first initiation ceremony? You get a name, you make a promise, and you're accepted by a Vaishnav. That's the important thing. Because Krishna says, that person who says he's my devotee, ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta sate jana, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he's my real devotee. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, tate Krishna bhaji kore guru sevan. What is our Krishna bhajan? Our Krishna bhajan is our guru seva. What is our guru seva? Our guru seva is our Krishna bhajan. You can't separate the two. We always keep Gurudev with us. And this nam bhajan, nama yagya maha yagya kolo kama sanasam Krishna chaitanya prityarte nama yagya samarpanam. This is a samarpana mantra which some Vaishnavas use to offer their chanting of the holy name. Nama yagya maha yagya. This chanting of the holy name is the great yagya. Kalo kalma sanasanam. It'll destroy the evils of Kali Yuga. Krishna Chaitanya Prityarte. That person who's always Chaitanya or always conscious of Krishna, Sri Krishna. That person is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Chaitanya Prityarte. He's very dear to him. We're doing this chanting for him. This is the kirtan of our sampradaya. We're doing this kirtan for our Gurudev. And Gurudev agrees to accept us. You were already chanting before. Gurudev doesn't chant the mantra in your ear, but there's a difference. The difference is now I have a connection with this person. And I'm chanting as a service to this Vaishnav. And Krishna then, he'll accept that person. He'll recognize that person. How many of you, raise your hand, have anybody here ever done Vrindavan Parikrama during the month of Kartik? Raise your hand. It's quite a sensory experience, isn't it? There's like about 2 million people who come from Delhi. And they have several unwritten laws. One unwritten law is that every 10 meters there has to be some Bollywood music playing. Another rule is it has to be full blast. Third rule is that the speaker has to be broken. Unspoken rules. It's quite a confusing thing. But while you're going around, you'll also see some saintly persons, very pious people, with pots of water, and they're giving some water to the yatris, the pilgrims, to drink. Now what happens? The yatris, they put the one out, depending on how smart they are, they may put one hand, just the right hand out, or two hands, and they take some water, and they drink that. Now some of the water goes through their fingers and goes on the ground, right? So what happens later on? The kukurs, the dogs come. Vrindavan's a very dry place, and they drink that water. Or the insects, they come and they drink that water. The water is not meant for them. The water is meant for the yatris, the pilgrims. But they're also benefiting. So this Krishna Nam Kirtan, this is the kirtan of Radharani and her associates, this Hare Krishna mantra. This is a kirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. It's really not meant for conditioned souls. But some of the water is coming through their fingers and we're getting some remnants of that as service to our Gurudev. And so when Gurudev accepts that devotee, what is the difference? There's another difference there. You can get the Maha Mantra from a card. We often do that, right? You can hear it in the kirtan. But it's not the same. It's not that somebody's going to come to the temple and say, well, hi, I met you guys last week on the Harinam in Fremont, and I heard the name, so now I'm initiated. Right? We won't accept that. What is the difference between that person and the devotees? A big difference is there. The devotees have a conception of Nami, the person behind the name. By the Krishna Katha from Gurudev, from Sadhu Vaishnava, we hear about Krishna, who he is, and his qualities, and his beauty. And more than that, when we render service, Sevan Mukhi Hi Jiva Do, for that Vaishnav, some love comes. And therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Pajavali, he says that Atagoro Sri Paradvandva Bhaktim. One of the natures of the holy name is it gives you bhakti to Gurudev. It gives us devotion to Guru when we're chanting as a service to Gurudev. And it's natural then to cry out. It's natural then to have love. And this is why the Vaishnavas like to chant japa with Gurudev. Personally, when Gurudev is present. Because Gurudev's present before me, I'm sitting, I'm chanting japa. This is my service to him. As Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to tell his disciples, this is your connection with Gurudev. Once I gone to see our old friend and teacher, Fakir Mohan Prabhu. He passed away a few months ago at nearly 100 years old. And when I was leaving the room one day, he said, Madhavananda, don't forget to check your email. And I just stopped. I was shocked because he comes from a small village. I didn't even think he knew what the word email was. And I looked a little confused, and he could see that. And he said, I don't mean the computer email. I mean this email. He said, this chanting is your connection with your Gurudev. And your Gurudev will speak to you through this chanting. When a baby is there, the baby has a connection with the mother through the umbilical cord. And through that umbilical cord, the mother feeds the baby. Well, devotees also have an umbilical cord that their mother, Guru Mata, Guru Pita, that their mother in the form of Gurudev feeds us. And this is the cord that Gurudev feeds us with. This japa, this is our service to Gurudev. We hear from the lips of Gurudev. Rupa Goswami, here at this place, he wrote a wonderful verse. Tunde tundavani ratim vitanute tundavali labdaye kana krodha kadambini gatayate karnarbi dubyo spriham Chaita prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyat birhamitai krishne divana dvahi tunde tandavani ratimbitanate tundavali labdaye. We want to chant with many, many mouths. But that's not the first thing. That's not the first step. It's actually the second step. What is the first step? Karna krodha kadambini vijayate. Karna krodha kadambini gatayate. Karna arbi dubyo spriham. The first thing is that we hear the holy name. We hear Krishna Katha. It's a service. Why do we hear Krishna Katha? Why do we hear Krishna's name? It's a service. It brings pleasure to Krishna. It brings pleasure to Gurudev. And then what happens, karna krodha kadambini gatayate, when you hear that thing, then chaita prangana sangini vijayate, if it goes in the ear, and then it comes to the heart, the word prangana means a courtyard. There's a private place in my heart, where I contemplate the meaning of that name. As Vaisheshika Prabhu was describing, we should read, we should think about the meaning of that name, and we should come close to a Vaishnav who's serving the name, and we should render loving service to that Vaishnav, so some of their feelings for the name will come to us. Chaita prangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim. And then when it comes into our heart, vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim, it conquers all the different senses. And then it comes out of our mouth again. And at that time, tunde tandavani ratim vitanute tundavali labdaye. Rupa Goswami gave this verse here in this place at Siddhabakul, this tree which sat and listened to Haridas Thakur chanting 3 lakhs a day. Such an amazing tree. It was planted by the hand of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This tree had association with Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, with Lord Nityananda, with Advaita Acharya, with so many exalted devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in effect, instructed this tree, you stay behind and you give mercy to those people who want to go deep in their chanting. Now, I'd like to shift our topic briefly and address something which I find many devotees become very confused about. How many rounds should we chant every day? Do we have any? Can anybody tell me how many rounds should you chant? Raise your hand. As much as possible? Okay. Minimum 16. Okay. Anybody else have any other thoughts? Prabhupada said you should chant 64. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said you should chant 64. Prabhuji is saying we should chant unlimited names. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prabhu bole jana lakeshvara bole kore pratidina lakshanama jagrahana kore. He said, do you know who's a lakeshwar? Every Hindi wala understands the word lakeshwar. It means a rich man. Lakpati, lakeshwar, someone who's an ishwar of a lakh. Means they have at least one lakh of rupees. Now that's nothing. You're a Kroreshwar, right? We appreciate that more. But he said, do you know who's actually a lakeshwar? Is someone who chants 1 lakh or 100,000 names a day. Se janera nama ami boli lakeshwar tava bhikshu amara na jay anyagar. I call such a person a lakeshwar and I only take meals from that person's house, nobody else. So, okay, how many of you here are chanting 1 lakh a day? Raise your hand. Okay, so this might be a little bit of a problem. We might all go very hungry because who's going to cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Now, I'd like to share something with you. Just like when you make friendship with somebody, you share something controversial, right? Little shocking. So I'm going to share something little controversial, little shocking with you. Did you know, so many times in ISKCON, we're told that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told everyone to chant 1 lakh a day, right? And it's a fact. But did you know that the vast majority of devotees that he initiated, he told them to chant 4 rounds a day? Well, you might become a little confused at this point or a little disturbed. He did tell devotees to chant 1 lakh a day. But another confusing thing is there. You may read in Bhaktivikasa Maharaj's biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Once one devotee came to complain to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta about one of his godbrothers. And he said, Guru Maharaj, he's not chanting 1 lakh a day. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, he's chanting 1 lakh a day. The devotee said, Guru Maharaj, he's not. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, he is chanting 1 lakh a day. And the devotee said, Guru Maharaj, please forgive me, but I stay in the same room with him. And we're together all day long, all night long. The only time we're not together is when he goes in the bathroom. And he's not in the bathroom that long. He's not chanting 1 lakh a day. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told them, you don't see him chanting 1 lakh a day, but I do. Now, what does that mean? Some years back, Fakir Mahaprabhu was speaking some things to us about the holy name and about japa. And by the way, let me make a quick comment, a side note, about these two verses I just read about lakeshwar, before I forget about it. Nowhere in these two verses does it say japa. It just says chanting 3 lakhs a day. That's all, 1 lakh a day. And we know that Haridas Thakur was chanting 3 lakhs a day. So in the 17th Vilas of Hari Bhakti Vilas, it said, Sanai Sanai Su Vispastam Nadrutam Navilambitam Nanunam Nadikam Vapi Japam Kuryad Dane Dane. You should chant steadily. You should chant clearly. Don't chant too slow. Don't chant too fast. Don't chant too little. And don't chant too much. Is anybody awake? Did you hear that last one? Did I say that again? Don't chant too much. In this way, one should daily chant japa. I remember when Fakir Mahaprabhu told us this, I was really confused. What is he talking? The next verse describes, or 8 verses later, Atakurya japam nityam shakchaniyata sankhaya sankhyapurto chakurvita pranayamam puna kiti. One should chant regularly according to one's capacity, affects number of rounds every day. In his Digdarshani Tika, Srila Sanatana Goswami has commented, Shaktya yata shakti ya niyata nitya niyamita japa sankhya tayaiva nityam japam kuryat nanyunam nadikam vapi japam kuryat dine dine ityadukte sankhyaya stasya purto cha samapto satyam. Translation. According to someone's capacity, they should regularly chant with counting. He uses the phrase sankhyanam. Affects number of rounds each day. One should chant neither less nor more japa than one's daily quota. When the fixed number of rounds is complete, then one should stop chanting japa and engage in other services. Do we do that? What was the major response when I asked how many rounds we chant every day? Devotees were saying unlimited, right? At least 16 rounds, and then unlimited more. So this sounds like a little bit of a contradiction, perhaps, but it's not. Think about it in a deep way. There's two types. When Mahaprabhu says kirtaneya sadahari, that you should always chant, he's saying kirtan. Kirtaneya sadahari, never stop doing kirtan. He doesn't say japita sadahari, you should always do japa. He's saying always do kirtan. Because there's two types, two broad divisions of chanting. Sankhyanam and asankhyanam. Chanting with counting and chanting without counting. Kirtan means without counting. But sankhyanam means my contract with Gurudev. It means my service to Gurudev. And that is not a whimsical thing. Gurudev is always happy in our line if you chant more. And he may tell you, you chant at least 16 rounds, and then when you finish, you can chant unlimited more. But that's not your idea. That's his instruction to you. And you're doing that as a service to him. But the 16 rounds are fixed. It's not that today I chant 16 rounds, and tomorrow I'm fired up, I chant 25 rounds. And then the next day I chant 22 rounds, and the day after that I chant 8 rounds. No. I have a vow, a promise, that I'm going to complete this certain number of rounds. And Sanatana Goswami explains this, saying that when you finish your chanting, then you should engage in other services. So this was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's mood. This is a secret that I've learned from many Vaishnavas in the Holy Dham, from different followers of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and different Babajis. Sometimes we hear people speaking about chanting one lakh a day, but you go with them and they're not chanting one lakh a day. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, he's chanting every day. You don't see him, but I see it. He considered that anyone who was doing service, and he told the devotees that while they're doing service, what should they do? They should chant constantly. That person, he's chanting one lakh a day. And I think if you're chanting always, you'll probably chant more than one lakh a day. If you're doing kirtan or something like that. There's another statement I'd like to read you quickly from Saartha Darshani, Vishnachakravarti Thakur's commentary. This is on 4th canto, chapter 28, text 34. Sutat hitveti patibrata patyur eva guru sevayam pravritta sishya shravana kirtanad inyapi bhogan tad utana premanandan apigrihan tad uchita vivekta stalam api navapekshate. Sri Guru sevayaiva sukena sarva sadhya siddhartam itubidesha vyanjita guru sevaya eva vedana sarvadik kasyoptava. He says that if a wife is really a first-class wife, if she's really devoted to her husband, when she's serving her husband, she's not thinking about the children. That's the best wife. She's so attached to her husband, she's not thinking about the children because she's devoted to her husband. And he says, similarly, a disciple who's deeply absorbed in service of Gurudev doesn't depend even on hearing and chanting. He doesn't depend on hearing and chanting because he knows that by Guru's seva, he can get everything in devotion. Just as a devoted wife doesn't want any sense enjoyment and home comfort, a disciple who's completely absorbed in Guru's seva doesn't seek even premananda, which comes from hearing and chanting, nor does he even seek secluded places to do his bhajan. The Vedas say that that type of service to Guru is the best. So this is a great secret, because chanchala hi mana Krishna, it's so hard to control the mind. But our mind will go where our heart is. I don't know Krishna, but I know my Gurudev. My Gurudev is someone who has love for me. My Gurudev is someone who's helped me. My Gurudev is that person I have a connection with. And I keep my Gurudev with me when I'm chanting. My chanting is my seva for Gurudev. So I would suggest devotees try this thing. And there are many Siddha Mahatmas that I've heard about and many Vaishnavas that I've met in different lines. When they chant their japa, they'll chant japa with their Gurudev in his presence. Because you don't fall asleep at that time. And it's natural to have some feeling. It's not that Jai Gurudev, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You feel very, very embarrassed for that. And moreover, it's natural to have some feeling at that time. We can't do this atmakrandana, crying for Krishna. I don't know who Krishna is, but I can cry for my Gurudev. And Gurudev helps us because he sees that if we just chant alone, you're not going to be able to make it. For 99.9% of the people, Prabhupada said, we can't imitate Haridas Thakur. And therefore, Gurudev gives us service. But don't think that service is separate from Nam. We got the service because we were chanting Krishna Nam. By our chanting, our sincerity, playing Krishna, please give me service. Now Krishna gave us service. So the result of our chanting is service. And what did we do while we do service? We chant. That's the strength of our service. And what is the fruit that we want from our service is also chanting. So don't separate service to Gurudev from chanting the holy name. These two things are mixed together in cause and effect. Okay, so we'll stop there. Before we go, I would encourage everybody to go and hug the tree, where the Hare Krishna devotees are the original tree huggers. But maybe we can just stop for just a minute and hear some reflections from the devotees about these subjects. Anybody have any comments, anything you'd like to share about this? Prabhuji, is there a microphone?
Thank you very much, Prabhu. I'm really appreciating this.
By the way, just to interject a little comment, this is like the first chapter of our book we'd like to do, the Kirtan of our Sampradaya.
I'm really appreciating this point that you keep bringing up about interactions between the Vaishnavas and also the relationship that the disciple has with the spiritual master, and that this whole our process of Krishna consciousness is about not just beginning, but investing our emotions, which we may, in my material life, I may invest my emotions in so many other nonsense things and so many other temporary relationships. But then the process of Krishna consciousness is investing those emotions into relationships with the Vaishnavas and relationships with the spiritual master. And you were saying yesterday about how by loving the spiritual master, the spiritual master is an expansion of Krishna, then we're loving Krishna. And this is just, it's a very profound point, and it's really, while we were coming to Jagannath Puri, I'm reading in the 10th canto and all the residents of Vrindavan and Krishna and the Yadus, and they're all meeting at Kurukshetra. And it was describing how they're all meeting and embracing each other, and tears were coming to their eyes, and they're asking, how was your travels, and all these things. And then in a purport, the servants of Srila Prabhupada write that this is the glory of Vaishnava dealings, that actually it may appear like mundane interactions and relationships, but really it's on a transcendental level based around service to Krishna. So I'm just appreciating this point that you keep bringing up by giving our love to the Guru and giving our love to the Vaishnavas, how that actually is.
Why does this keep coming up from me? Because I'm inspired by all of you. Because I look at your faces and I see the faith and the love that you have for your Guru. And different devotees have different Gurus here, but I see the devotees have Guru Nishta, some fixed feeling for that. And that's such a wonderful thing. Such a very, very important thing. Would you?
I deeply appreciated the point that you made about how Haridas Thakur did not feel entitled. And also the connection to Brahma, who actually installed the deities. And I was just thinking how it's so easy for my seva to become a currency for respect.
Become a courtesy?
No, a currency for currency. A currency for
offer respect.
For respect. Achha.
Well, that's a beautiful phrase.
And it happens so unconsciously. Hmm. What I've also noticed is in advanced souls, they never look for any respect, despite there may be every reason why they can actually. So in this case, if Haridas Thakur actually said, "Well, I actually installed," it's not untrue, mm-hmm. And yet it takes away the unconditional nature of the service. As soon as you claim, as soon as you speak about it, so I entitlement is a very can happen on so many subtle levels as well, and to really be attentive to that.
Satyadeva Prabhu made such a good point about bhajan means honesty, and it means, my Guru Maharaj used to put it in this way: he said, your only qualification is your disqualification. That's the only qualification that we have. And that means being honest. And who do I be honest with? I'm honest with Krishna through his form of Gurudev. And I tell Gurudev things that I don't tell my wife, my mother, my best friend, anyone. I reveal my heart. And I reveal what a rotten, duplicitous, nonsense person that I am to Gurudev. And that's my akait of a bhajan. That's being honest. Rather than trying to pretend something, and so this is your point also with Haridas Thakur, he didn't try to pretend, but he accepted whatever they gave him. Thank you. Prabhuji?
Prabhuji, I would like to really thank you for this wonderful session to all three of you. The point really struck me is when you said that one should try and chant in the association of Guru and Sadhu. So by Krishna's fortune, we had a privilege to be able to chant in an association of a very exalted devotee a few years ago, back in Radhakund. And it also reminded me of the verses which we, His Grace Vaishashika Prabhu mentioned about that who's a Vaishnava, one who, out among all the people who's chanting the name of Krishna, once is a Vaishnava. And then I think in subsequent verses, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to describe that the next level is one who is constantly chanting the name of the Lord. And then the third level is when you're in an association of a devotee and you feel an inspiration in your heart to go on chanting the name constantly, you know, just being in the association of such a particular devotee. So that's very inspiring. And I think today this is the right environment, being in the association with all three of you, and no better place than Haridas Thakur's place where he was chanting 3 lakh names. So my gratitude to all three of you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's very amazing to be here in the association of this tree. many things come out. We can say so many words about the different katas that are spoken today, but this tree, he's a very powerful presence here, and he's inspiring the devotees to speak. He's inspiring the devotees to understand. Respond, would you?
Very quick comment, Prabhuji. So I really liked what you mentioned about Japamala as an umbilical cord connecting us to Guru. So that was really touching.
Karuna Shakti Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. One thing that I did notice is that now that I'm a year older in my devotional practice, I can actually hear you more, and I appreciate that. One of the things I really liked was that, you know, I don't live in San Jose. I live, you know, down in San Clemente. And I often watch and I always think, oh, how can I serve my guru? How can I serve the ISV devotees? And so, like, I always feel like I can only do it at the Yatra or I can only do it at the Vyasa Pooj. And then when you tell me, it was so refreshing that I can actually serve him by doing my japa. It made my japa so much more important. So thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Okay. Anything else? Jagadatma Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. So, it's just a comment I thought I would make, and that was that the Diksha Guru, who gives the holy name, he instructs in the 10 offenses. He also gives Sambandha Gyan Tattva. Mm. Without the proper Sambandha, there is no question of chanting Chayanama Basa. You will chant Pratibimba. You will not chant the pure name. You cannot chant. So it is imperative that to serve the Guru means to hear. You must hear from the Guru. You must please him so that he will teach you proper Sambandha Gyan like this. Then you will chant properly and you get love for Krishna. Without the proper Sambandha relationship, your chanting is not beautiful. Thank you.
When I took initiation from my Guru Maharaj, or just, I guess, right after it, we visited, I was traveling with him, we went to Washington, D.C., and we visited Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who was a great friend, well-wisher of our Guru Maharaj, and somehow he also had some affection for me. And he wanted to talk to me, just asking me how things are going and whatever, and I told him that I just got initiated, and so he was telling me, initiation means to initiate something. It means to begin. And now this is just the beginning. So we often forget that. It's a simple linguistic point. Initiation means to initiate, to begin. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. Now I have to hear from Gurudev. I have to cultivate this relationship with him. Prabhuji?
Thank you, Prabhu. The point that stuck with me was your analogy of the water you know, coming through the fingers, that how this kirtan bhajan is meant for Srimati Radharani and her associates, and it's not for the conditioned souls, but just out of their causeless mercy, we are getting the remnants. Thank you for that.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yes.
Very merciful. Mataji?
I like the point where you said only. Like when we chant, we're asking for service. And when we get service, it's to chant more. And you know, we're trying to chant to serve the Guru. That point was so nice.
The chanting is always there in the beginning, in the middle, in the end. It's always there. We should never be without the chanting. Okay? Prabhuji?
Prabhu, I like the point you said, don't chant too fast, don't chant too slow, don't chant too loud, don't chant too soft, and don't chant too much, and don't forget to check your email. That was really nice. Very profound. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. What really struck me that, you know, how you can, you know, keep a picture of your guru in front of you and, you know, form that relationship and, you know, feel that he's seeing that, you know, how qualitative rounds you're chanting and how focused you are, and that will really help you to be, you know, okay, my guru is just behind me looking and watching me, and, you know, that's how you should basically, you know, do all your service. Second point is basically I wanted to just understand, I had a question that when we say that when we, you know, you do service and it really helps you, you know, for your chanting good rounds or, you know, chanting. So my question is that what is the service that really pleases your guru the most?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Sajjana Toshini, he describes three types of service. And I don't remember the Bengali phrases. I'm such a Kali Yuga brain. But he says that one is common service, and that's the thing that everybody's doing, like that. And then there's little higher services. Some in common service, someone may think that Gurudev made this temple for me. But a higher service is that Gurudev made this temple to serve Krishna. But the highest service is understand that thing which is very close to Gurudev's heart and which Gurudev can't live without. And what is that? Preaching, speaking Krishna Katha. That's the best type of service. Whereas someone on a lower platform, they'll say, anyway, all services are the same. Don't discriminate. And in one sense, you can say that. It's not that doing pujari seva in a transcendental way is less than preaching. But Prabhupada didn't come to the West to establish pujari service. Prabhupada came to the West to establish preaching. And although both are transcendental, still, of the two, the preaching is a way to really please his heart.
Thank you so much. Prabhu, just one more question. Is that... I don't remember. Maybe I'll ask sometime later. I don't remember, just...
Okay. All right.
Hare Krishna. I have three reflections from the three lectures that we had. When we go out on book distribution or even when we are preaching, we normally use the term ripe mango and a raw mango. And I always had applied that to others, like, you know, he's a raw mango, didn't take the book and things like that. But today, Satyadev Prabhu, when you said that if you are not, only when you are a ripe mango will Krishna bite you. So that was suddenly reflected back onto me, like, oh my goodness, yeah, I'm a raw mango. I was always, you know, pointing towards others. And from Vaishika Prabhu, I liked your analogy of the black box transponder. That was really, it really stuck me that, because everybody at ISP knows that my chanting is very, very poor. Bukharvinda is always scolding me for not doing it properly. And then suddenly it stuck a chord in me that, you know, if you're not transponding properly, Krishna won't know where you are. And from Madanana Prabhu's lecture, I really, what struck me was the importance of sadhu sangha and how you emphasized it, that it's kind of like, I don't know what's the right term for that, but you said that when you have good and deeper sadhu sangha, then you get a deeper holy name, and then from the deeper holy name, you get deeper sadhu sangha, and it goes on and on and on. So that was really very powerful. So,
and that's the shyatra, right?
That's true, yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
You have something else?
Prabhu, so my second question was talking about entitlement. Uh-huh. Like you said that you should not, you know, never look for entitlement. So like I wanted to understand when you do something and you want to share it with your guru or, you know, just to, you know, let him know that, you know, to please him and stuff. So is it again that you are looking for entitlement or you just share it just to please him? Like how do you basically
take that? It depends on our motivation. It's a subtle thing. If we're going to Gurudev, you know, Gurudev, Maharaj, I just want to let you know, I'm a very wealthy person. I'm very educated. I know five verses from Bhagavad Gita. I'm almost an incarnation, and you'd be really lucky if you initiate me. So what kind of a way is that to approach Gurudev? Sanatana Goswami, he said, Ke Ami. He said, I don't know who I am. I have this problem. And he could have tried to impress Mahaprabhu and he could have said, here's my, what do you call that when you go for a job? my resume, and I know so many languages, and I know so much Shastra, and I'm a big person this way and that way. But he didn't do that. He said, I don't even know who the heck I am. I don't know anything. And so we should come before Guru like that. Like in the Bible, Jesus says that you should empty that cup and I'll fill you. So we should come before Gurudev with an empty cup and not try to impress him, and let Gurudev fill us.
Thank you.
And now we'll take just a little time to wander around and take some benedictions from Siddha Bakul, Desire Tree. And then after that, we'll make our way back to the ashram. Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivedanta ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Vansha kalpatrubhascha kripasinabhevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo.